Hey, come on, you can be seated. Good to be with you this morning. Come on, who's glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Yeah, you and me both. Thank you, Damon. All right, if you got your Bible this morning, turn it to Hebrews chapter 12, where you'll find the theme verse for a little mini-series that we're going to do for a couple weeks here called Fix Your Focus. You know, we are, I'm preaching into some of the family values of Rev City Church, and you know, family is God's chosen analogy for representing his heart towards you and towards me. It's why we do everything that we do is to glorify Jesus, but it's to bring people into a spiritual family. That's why Jesus came, was to bring his sons and daughters home to a relationship with a good heavenly father. Amen? So everything we do, we exist as a church. We are a family. And so God intended family to be a place where you discover purpose and where you're affirmed and where you're encouraged and where you're loved and where you're built up to become the mighty man or woman of God that God called you to be. But unfortunately, many of us experience pain and discouragement, frustration, despair, relational breakdowns in the midst of earthly family, because a family is only as good as the foundation upon which it's built. So we need to have a lot of grace for our earthly families and for our earthly parents. But the heart of the reason we have family values is because we desire for this to be a place where people can experience family in such a way where their heart is filled with love, where their shortcomings and their struggles and their weaknesses and their failures are covered by the grace and the mercy of a good God. And they begin to experience what God intended for family to be. A place where destiny is discovered and encouraged, and a place where people are affirmed and built up in the love of God to become the mighty men and women of God that God created for you and for me to be. But a family is only as good as the values on which it's built and the commitment to which that family will live out those values through thick and thin. So I'm going to be preaching through over the coming months through our family values. And the first value of our family is that we are Jesus-centered and outward focused. That everything we do as a church, every program, every service, every time of worship, everything we do is to point to Jesus. He's the reason that there's a church here, there's a building here, there's a church to be named Rev City Church. It's all because of him and it's all for him. So we're focused on Jesus and then we're outward focused. He's called us to shine the light of Jesus to this community and to reach people in his name. So there's something I'm doing this morning, and it's underlining a value of our family. But I also believe this is relevant and significant to each of us personally. And you're going to find that, I hope, to be the case with every one of these family values that are values of our church. They're significant corporately to who we are as a people. And to who we are, to what Rev City stands for, and what we're about. You look through, and as we preach, significant there, but they're also significant to each of us personally. That as you look through, and as we preach through, and as we go through, and we unpack, and we dig in to these family values, that there will be underlining something that God's called us to focus on corporately. But you'll also see something that is part of a blessed life for you personally. So the first one is Jesus-centered and outward focused. Passion for Jesus and compassion for people will motivate us. Everything we do is focused on Jesus and helping as many precious people as possible experience the hope, freedom, and life that we have found in Jesus. And listen, most churches start out this way, but then can begin to lose their focus. And so it's intentional as a top value of our church family that we are on a mission to make a difference. That we are focused on Jesus and we're focused on helping people. And listen, how many of you know we can start out in whether any area of life, marriage, family, church, whatever it is, any area of life, we can start out with good intentions but begin to lose our focus. And so the title of this little mini series as we're unpacking this value of Jesus-centered and outward focused is Fix Your Focus. Most issues in life are issues that are tied to a loss of focus. You didn't intend to drift from God and find yourself far from God and separated from his heart and his plans and his purposes and his people. But at some way, some place, some point in life, you lost your focus. You didn't intend to look up and see your marriage on the rocks and on the brink of divorce. But in some way, somehow, you began at one point, you lost your focus. And so most issues in life are an issue of focus. And I believe that as we begin to fix our focus on Jesus and on his purpose for our life, that's the place where we truly discover what it means to live a blessed life. As we begin to fix our focus. Listen, there's two important meanings of the word fix. to set intently upon, like to fix your gaze upon something, to purposely, intently set your gaze upon something. And then the other word, the other meaning of fix that's significant to the context of this little mini-series we're doing is to repair or correct, to make an adjustment, to realize that I was supposed to be focused here, but I realize I've gotten off and I'm focused over here, and God's coming in his grace and he's speaking to us in his truth, and he's causing us to just begin to fix our focus, to repair or correct back towards what really matters in life, first him and then the people around us. And then to understand that then we begin to fix intently. We begin to discipline ourselves to no longer be distracted or turned to the left or to the right, to other things that are only temporally significant, but to begin to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12, verse 1. And to fix our focus. Listen, I talked last week about how it's important, especially in the world that we live in the culture that we live in, and with all the headlines that exist out there, you can get captured with all just the negativity that's in the world, and it's important that we fix our focus on Jesus. This morning, I want to begin to talk to you about how it's important to fix your focus first on Jesus, but then outwardly towards the people around you. Starting with the people that are closest to you, and then starting with the people in your workplace, and then to the people of Lawrence in this community. God's called us to be outwardly focused. And you know, it should seem obvious that a church would be outward focused. But can I just share something with you as a pastor? I encounter a number of people who are concerned about their church growing beyond the point that's comfortable for them. And so, I get it. You can kind of get lost in the numbers, whatever. Well, here's what I commit to you is that we'll only grow as big as we can remain healthy. And to remain healthy, we've got to stay connected relationally. And so that's why small groups and men's ministry and women's ministry and youth ministry, all those things are so vitally important, because there's only so much that we can encounter and build relationships on Sunday morning for the hour and a half that we're together. But can I just encourage you? It's God's heart for the church to grow. It's God's heart for the church to expand. And so if we begin to focus on our own preferences and our own positions and our own areas of service and our own titles and all that, we can begin to focus on self in such a way that begins to get away from the heart of God, that is to aggressively evangelize people until all are saved. And 1 Timothy 3, verse 3 and 4, it says, "This is good, pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." And then look at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, they'll put it up behind me there. You don't have to turn there because I'm moving quickly through some scripture. And it says, "Then Jesus told them this parable. And he said, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home and he calls his friends and he calls his neighbors and he says, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way," come on, look at your neighbor and say, "the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." The heart of God is for what he does here to influence and impact our community. The heart of God, and it's why we began talking about making room at the table and strengthening the nets here, because I believe this is a good church and I believe this is a good family, and I believe that God, like a good parent, is looking for a place that he can begin to send people, more and more of his precious kids, to begin to encounter and discover first his presence and then what it means to be connected to a life-giving church family. We're going to be Jesus-centered and we're going to be outward focused. Listen, what's the numerical vision of this church? Till all are saved. That's the standard of Jesus. Maybe there'll be times and seasons where we say we're believing in this year or in this semester or whatever for God to strengthen us and grace us and empower us to reach this many people, but we'll never be satisfied when we get to a certain number. The standard of our vision is always going to be, is there one more person who needs Jesus? Is there one more precious person who's still separated from God and lost in the dark and needs to come home and discover a relationship with their Heavenly Father? That's only possible through Jesus Christ. Freely we've received, and freely we're going to give, and we're going to give, and we're going to give until all are saved. Jesus-centered and outward-focused. It's all about Jesus. Everything we do is all about Jesus. Putting our focus on him. When we reach people, maybe they'll come to an event, maybe they'll come to a service, maybe they'll come to a women's gathering where you ladies gathered on Friday night and ate a bunch of ice cream, I understand. That's a God is God likes ice cream. That is a godly meeting right there. Maybe they'll come to something like that, but when they come there, they're going to experience the presence of Jesus. That's what we're all about. We're Jesus-centered and we're outward-focused. So now I want to begin to shift and talk to you about how this principle, I've underlined how it applies to our church. Now I want to show you how this is the pathway to the most blessed and fulfilled life for every one of us as believers. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you." Listen, can I just encourage you? There's a lot of stuff that we have to tend to in life. Amen? Come on, where are the moms at out there? There's a lot of stuff that you have to tend to in life. And it can become challenging if you just kind of are struggling to say, well, where's the most important place in this season for me to put my time and my energy and my effort and my resources? But Matthew 6:33, I want to encourage you with something. It's not about to the exclusion. It's not about seek first the kingdom of God to the exclusion of the other things that God has called you to. It's about priority. It's about priority. It's about, first, I understand that to be the godly mom, to be the godly husband, to be the godly dad, to be the godly friend, to be the pastor that I'm called to be, I've got to first find my strength in the source that is Jesus Christ. I've got to first approach him and live for him and seek him and spend time with him. I can't be who God's called and created me to be unless Jesus is my source. It's not about the exclusion of other things. God's called you to some of those things. They're good things, but you'll never do it in the way that God's called you and created you to if Jesus isn't your source. It's about priority. Jesus must come first. And you can begin to understand that he's called me to some of these things. These are good things. This business, this area of service, these family things, these school events, whatever. Those are all good things that God's put in your hand and entrusted to you. But first, you must prioritize God. I've already been there, but Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out with us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith." First, you must fix your focus on Jesus as your source. He's the source of your strength. He's the source of your anointing. Those things he's called you to, he's the source of the provision in every way to prepare you and to get you ready to begin to step into the things that God has for you. He's the source for your marriage. He's the source for your family. He's the source for your finances. And can I just encourage you with something? He's the only one that can meet your needs. Listen, especially as we're talking about being outward focused towards other people, can I just encourage you, one of the surest recipes for frustration is placing the responsibility upon people to give you the things that only God can give you. Did I say that clearly? One of the surest pathways to frustration in life is placing the responsibility on people to do for you the things that only God can do for you. He's got to be your source. You've got to seek him first. Listen, you, even the people that God's brought closest to you that are significant to your life, your spouse cannot do for you what only Jesus can do for you. Your pastor cannot do for you what only Jesus and a relationship with him daily can do for you. Hopefully I make a pretty good Pastor T in your life, but I'm a terrible Jesus to you. Only he can do those things. Only he can heal your heart. Only he can forgive your sins. Only he can begin to give you a sense of purpose and destiny and significance. I can't do that for you. I can point you to some things, but you got to find it in him. Focus, fix your focus upon Jesus, number one, as your source. Listen, where are the single people out in here? Come on, let me hear from you. Come on, hands up, make some noise, single people. All right. How about single people that would like for God to deliver you a spouse? You want to be married. Single people, you want to be married. Come on, hands up again. There's a few less hands that went up right there. Some of you are just liars. I should do. Some of you are like, that's a pretty good idea. Can we do that again? I hadn't thought of that. Listen, here's where I'm going with that. Single people, don't wait till you get married to start living in God. That person that you're believing for, that person that you're searching for, that person that you're seeking for, they will not complete you. Renee Zellweger got it wrong in that movie, you know. I'm sorry, Renee. Jerry Maguire will not complete you. The only person that can complete you is Jesus Christ Almighty. The only person that, the only way that your heart's ever going to be healed and filled and complete is through a relationship with God. You know, single people, you know that God's word says that two shall become one. Two whole people, not two halves, not two incomplete, impartial people. Stop waiting to enter into the call of God and the purposes of God and the promise of God until God brings you that man or that woman, you know. Get after it and just start doing it. And then as you're living life for God and you're fixing your focus on Jesus and not on the people that you think are going to complete you and get you going and make you happy, when you begin to fix your focus on him, you begin to run the race for him. That's a good place to be. And I encourage single people, when you start running that way and you start fixing your focus on Jesus, then you're in a place where just start to kind of check your rearview mirror a little bit. Start to look to the left and the right and see some people that are running with you. And those are some pretty good people to consider asking out on a date. And some of you just need it. Come on. This is turning into a singles conference up in here. I didn't even know. Some of you need to go on a date. I mean, come on. You're praying, you're believing, you know. I mean, come on, just ask her. Especially the person that you look around and you see, man, this person is running for Jesus. This is a person who has their focus fixed on Christ. So number one, he's got to be your source. Fix your focus on him as your source. Don't place a responsibility upon people in your life, no matter how good they are, no matter how godly they are, to fill the place in your heart that can only be filled by Jesus. Number two is your example. Fix your focus on Jesus. One is your source. Two is your example. Listen, what if every day we started out just trying to become a little bit more like Jesus? What if every day, I mean, would that be, come on, is that a pretty good way to live? Just every day, Lord, I want to just become a little bit. And then if we made that our focus, what we would realize is that some days we take a step back. But tomorrow's coming. And tomorrow's another opportunity to early when I rise, just begin to say, all right, Lord, today I just want to be a little bit more like Jesus. Today I want to take a step just a little bit more towards you. Today I'm fixing my focus on you. And can I just encourage you? I think it's a good practice and a discipline to begin to build into your life to as early on in your day as possible, surrender and submit your day to God. And invite and welcome his presence and his strength and his provision and his direction into your life for everything that you have to do that day. And come on, I hear people that talk about how they spend 2 hours with Jesus in the morning or whatever, you know, and I'm just like, they don't have four kids. And if they do, I need to read their book and figure out how they're doing it. Because, there's something to setting aside time. Come on, if that's you, if you're sitting there like, yeah, what's he talking about? I spend 2 hours every morning, you know, from 3 to 5 a.m. with Jesus, you know, before I get up and go out and gather the eggs from the chicken coop and come back in and make a hot breakfast that I take up to my wife in bed. See, you guys thought I was talking about a woman. Listen, sometimes just 10 minutes with God, 5 minutes with God, it changes the whole trajectory and the focus of your day. And so maybe you'll get there some point where you're spending an hour, 2 hours with God, and you need to have those times kind of built in your schedule. And maybe that time happens in the evening when those four kids are in bed faking to be asleep, you know. But every day when you rise, I just think it's a good discipline for every one of us as believers to just present our day before God and just say, God, everything about my day today, everything you've called me to do, everything you've called me to be, I just recognize you're my source. And I just ask you, Lord, for your strength, for your wisdom, for your vision, for your protection, Lord, over me and over my family, for your provision. You know everything that you're calling me to do. For Lord, for wisdom on how to interact with people and respond to issues, and for your grace, your empowerment upon my life to do and be what you've called me to do today and who you've called me to be today. And come on, how long did that take? That's about 2 minutes right there. Fix your focus. The earlier on in your day, come on, this is just Pastor T's little toolbox for discipleship right here. The earlier in your day that you can fix your focus on Jesus. And whatever you got to do that, you know, maybe that's just holding off a little bit on picking up your phone or disciplining yourself that the first thing you go to is your devotional and your and going to YouVersion and reading the devotional that you've set up or set up an alert to you know, prompt you to go to it or whatever. Whatever it looks like. But and maybe for some of you, it's also just getting back to something old school, like just hitting your knees. Just as a practical way to just position and posture your focus on Jesus. Focus on him as your example. We're more than church attenders. We're more than church members. We're more than even church leaders. Before we're all those things, we're called to be disciples. And we're called to become more and more and more and more like Jesus. And some of you need to hear that today because you got saved and then you just got back to just busy. And today God's just reminding you there's still some additional way. He's constantly wanting you to continue to grow up into more and more and more like Jesus. And as we do that, it'll start to change and affect and strengthen us in every area of life. So number one is your source. Number two is your example. Number three, focus on his purposes. Fix your focus on his purposes. What's he doing in your life? What's he doing in that relationship? Why did he put you together with that person and call you to be married to them? What's his purpose? Listen, he's writing a story in your life. And he's got a purpose and a plan for your life that's so much bigger than just what you can see right now. He's got a story. He's writing a story in your marriage. And the purpose for your marriage and for your family and for your future is so much bigger than what you can just see right now. But the enemy likes to capture us in like Polaroid snapshot thinking. He takes a snapshot of a painful moment and he just holds it up in front of you after he waves it to get it to process, right? I'm dating myself here. Who remembers Polaroids? If you're young in here, ask your parents. He operates with a Polaroid mentality. He takes a snapshot of a painful moment and he holds it up in front of you and says, "See who you married? See what your life is going to look like?" And I'm just telling you, there's a purpose that's beyond the Polaroid. There's a story that God's writing in your life. And maybe you find yourself right now in a painful or a difficult chapter. Let me encourage you with something I encourage you with often. Turn the page and let God keep on writing. Keep moving. Keep walking. Keep pursuing the purposes of God. There's a story that he's writing in your marriage. Some of you need to hear this morning. I had someone come to me this morning before the service, and they said, there's a sense of anticipation in the atmosphere today. And I said, amongst this team or amongst the church? And he said, church-wide, there's just a sense of anticipation. And he said, I believe that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that this morning, God wants to restore some marriages. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I'm just telling you, if you came here and you're almost at the end of your rope in your marriage, today there's hope in Jesus Christ for your marriage. Because that painful moment, because that Polaroid that the enemy's holding up and saying, see what this looks like. I'm telling you, God's writing a story and you need to let him keep writing. Turn the page. God's making a movie. Don't let the enemy convince you that that this is your future. Keep moving. Keep seeking. Keep searching. Remind yourself of some things. Remind yourself of your purpose. Hear me this morning. And we already had the singles conference, so you single folks, now just be patient. Now I'm talking to some married folks. Purpose for God for your marriage is so big, there are generations that will be affected by the way you live it out that you'll never see this side of heaven. We've been through some painful stuff, you know, in our own family, just our extended family, as it regards walking through the pain of divorce. And I just want to encourage you that there's still some challenges, but I want to encourage you, it's been a beautiful thing to watch God just heal and restore the way that some things were fractured because of the divorce. But I also, so here's what's the point? Well, God's grace is bigger. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And if you've been through some stuff, God wants to heal you and get you right back on track. But how many know sometimes he also, in the process of healing you, he wants to kind of change your perspective about some things. And how many know sometimes we can walk through something, but if we could go back and do it differently, we might do it a little bit differently. And I want to encourage you this morning that if you find yourself in a painful chapter, if you find yourself with the enemy holding up that Polaroid in your marriage, I want to encourage you that there's a picture, there's a family photo of grandchildren, that there's a family photo book of grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren that you'll never see with your physical eye, but their very life and destiny is connected to the way that you walk out this season. And if God can begin to just show you, if God can begin to just remind you, if God can begin to give you a prophetic vision of what's possible, if you'll just hang on. And listen, I'm not saying that you need to hang on in an abusive situation or some kind of a situation. I mean, there are reasons for you to take some steps. But hear me, generally speaking, most situations that result in divorce, that divides and that cuts off the flow of this legacy of God in your family, most of those things can be healed if you'll just hang on and keep walking, if you'll just begin to refocus, if you'll just forgive, if you'll just begin to ask God, show me and remind me of the purposes why you brought us together. We begin to selflessly approach those around us. We begin to be outward focused. We begin to fix our focus on what God's doing through us in the lives of others. Can I just tell you, we are least like Jesus when we are selfish. And we are most like him when we're laying our life down for others. And the standard of God is even laying our lives down for, Jesus laid his life down for people that were still enemies of his, that were cursing him and beating him and whipping him. He laid his life down even for those people. How much more can we lay our life down for that coworker that's just a little grumpy? Or that spouse that messed up and blew it and did something, you know, how much more? God, what are you doing? What's the purpose? What's your purpose behind this relationship? What's your purpose behind this connection? What are you up to? And how can I begin to consider how I can be a blessing more than what I'm trying to get from them? Did you know that, according to Google, it has to be true, we take 93 million selfies a day. Wow. The world at large, I guess. 93 million selfies a day. Some of you are doing math. Some of you are contributing greater in a greater way to that number than others. When we take a picture with a group, when we do take a picture with a group, who's the first person that we look at to determine whether it's a usable picture or not? Come on, it's time by the Spirit of God to begin to just kind of flip our camera around. And say, Lord, what are you doing? How are you using me in that difficult situation or that difficult relationship? Focus on his purpose. The purpose of God will bring fresh empowerment of God. For some of you, even to endure some difficult situations. But I believe if you'll walk it out in a Christ-like way, that's the pathway to the testimony. Come on, you can't even spell testimony without test. Some of you are going to have to go through some stuff and walk through some things with people before you get to the place where you have the testimony. Fix your focus on Jesus. Fix your focus on what he's doing. Number four, focus on the good in others. Fix your focus on the good in others. Matthew 7, verse 3 through 5 is the passage talking about the speck in our own eye and the log in your brother's eye. And it says this, why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye? Well, I can tell you how we can think of that. I mean, that's real easy to do. When you can't see past the log in your own eye. Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Listen, why is it so much easier to see the speck in our friend's eye than it is to see the log in our own eye? I mean, is it just me? I mean, it's just like much easier. Like it feels a lot better to find the speck in someone else's eye than it does to deal with the log that's in my own eye. And I think maybe it has to do with focus. It has to do with what we're looking for. It has to do with our perspective. How many remember in science class when you would use the magnifying glass? How many remember? The other day, I'm thinking about this because a few days ago, I was dropping my our youngest daughter, Ava, she's 4. I was dropping her off at pre-K, and they invited me in to come see what they were doing, and they were using magnifying glasses to look at ears of corn. And so I sat down there, and I was working with her, just kind of looking through the magnifying glass and everything, and God just started speaking to me about focus. That, you know, there's this ear of corn, but when you take this magnifying glass and you begin to look more intently, you begin to see it differently than you do if you just take a glance at it. And the enemy comes and he tries to get us to begin to look through a magnifying glass at the faults and the weaknesses of others in our lives. When really I believe what God would have us to do is first, you know, I mean, I'm not saying there's not that people don't have some real issues in your life. They do. But I think the heart of God is first that we would get to a position where we just, instead of a magnifying glass, you know, we take out a mirror and we say, God, you're just working on me. Every day I just want to look a little bit more like Jesus. And then I'm just going to pray for that person and trust them. And then when they open the door, maybe for me to speak into their life, there's an invitation based on relationship. Maybe then I'll speak into their life. But for the most part, I'm just going to pray and trust because I know that I see real clearly the issues that are in their life, but I know I got some stuff of my own to work on. You got to be careful what you magnify. You got to be careful what you look intently for. Can I just tell you, if you're coming into this church or any church and you want to look for something that you disagree with, you'll find it. You want to look around at any relationship in your life and you want to look for something that bothers you about that person, you'll find it. How many of you remember, did any of you ever take the magnifying glass out into the sun and find an anthill when you were a kid? You remember what happens? I mean, you can literally, when you take that focus and you just kind of hold that, it's like just right, you know. I mean, you can literally fry someone with an intense magnification. Or you can take a step back and just say, Lord, I know they got issues, but I got issues of my own. And I'm going to fix my focus on you and what you're doing in my life. And then just trust that somehow, some way, they'll see the light of Jesus shining in me. And I'll have an opportunity to begin to speak into their life relationally. You got to be careful what you look for. Because you're likely to find it. And recently, just last weekend, not this Saturday as in yesterday, but Saturday, 2 Saturdays ago, we went out to the pumpkin patch that's out here on the east side of town, you know. And it was a blast, you know. I mean, we were looking at pumpkins and buying pumpkins and paying more than I ever imagined I would ever pay in my life for pumpkins. And donuts and cider and everything else, you know, and it was a blast. And then we went to pay for the pumpkins, and one of us just said, what happened is, oh gosh, baby, I'm so sorry. It's almost impossible for me to tell this story without telling on you. Here I am preaching about focusing on my own stuff, and I'm about to tell a story on her. Oh, no.
Okay. We're going to tell this story. I'm involved. No, I'm just kidding. I had put Thomas's wallet in my back pocket. Where are you? Okay. I put his wallet in my back pocket because we didn't want to carry around a purse or a backpack. And I had just gotten some maternity jeans, like, you know, because we're getting to where we can't wear normal jeans anymore. So I realized you can't put stuff in pockets of maternity jeans the same way you can put in normal jeans, and you mothers know exactly what I'm talking about. It falls out because it's so stretchy. So we get there to pay for the pumpkins, and I reach back, and the wallet was gone. And we had just spent an hour walking around the pumpkin patch, and I had just transferred some cash in there. So we go back out to the pumpkin patch, and we had already spent an hour looking. Guys, we spent another hour searching for this wallet, and it was so neat. I don't know, I don't want to preach your message, but it was so neat because we went from this excitement, expectant time of looking around and watching for all these pumpkins. Like, it's easy to pick a pumpkin out of a pumpkin patch, no? Because it's orange, right? Guess what color the wallet was? Yeah,
dirt brown.
Dirt brown. So I tell you, it was really neat because we go from this really expectant, we're going to find this pumpkin because I love putting pumpkins on the front porch. They're so pretty. To looking, you go, and I tell you, if he's talking about fixing your focus, you go from looking for pumpkins to looking for a wallet. It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder.
So here's the point. When you begin to realize, whatever it takes, that there's something more valuable than what you see at first glance. When you realize that there's something of value in someone, you begin to look at them differently. Listen, we probably looked crazy, man, because there are people just walking around looking at pumpkins, and we're walking around like this, you know? And I'm sure people are like, come on, man, they're just pumpkins. Like, don't take it that seriously, you know? Just pick a pumpkin. They've walked around there 10 times. Just pick a pumpkin, man. But we're walking around like this, you know, and there's vines, and you're tripping over vines, and it had rained the day before, you know, and it's muddy and everything. When you realize that there's something valuable that God's called you to discover and call out in someone, you begin to look at them differently. You slow down a little bit, and the pumpkins that are, the warty pumpkins that are obvious, you know, you begin to look past some of those things, and you begin to look for the treasure. And I'm just telling you, when we were looking for pumpkins, there was one kind of a focus that we were looking. But when we were looking for that wallet that had that money in and the credit cards and the driver's license and everything else that was in it, we were focusing a little bit differently. Well, worship team, come up here. We get prepared to close. That's a great question. Oh, my goodness. When you find the wallet, it feels so good. We found the wallet. Amen. We found the wallet, and I was able to pay for all those pumpkins. My father-in-law found it. Come on. Papa, you're out there listening. Yeah, come on, give Papa a hand. God's calling us to fix our focus. Fix is incorrect, or repair, to come back to what really matters. And to then begin to, with determination, say, Lord, I'm focusing on you first and foremost. And then through your eyes, through what you and only you can do in my life to fill me up and to heal my heart and to begin to strengthen me and fill me with grace for people around me, then I begin to focus outwardly on others. So let me ask you today, in what area, in what place, in what relationship does God need to fix your focus? What thing has the enemy come and began to just cause you to become more focused on in such a way that has stolen your attention that God intended for you? To give to him first and foremost, to give to your spouse, to give to your family, to give to the people in your life. And this morning, God's just saying, come on, I'm so graciously just showing you. I'm just graciously reminding you about what's really important. Come on, remember, it's about priority. Seek first the kingdom. All the other things, all the other relationships, all the other tasks, everything in your life, God will begin to take care of it. He'll begin to strengthen you and empower you in a new and a fresh way to fulfill those things as you begin to prioritize him first. As you begin to put him first. So what area? Come on, right there, just between you and God. In fact, just all the people of God, just stand up and just go ahead and respond to God this morning. I got faith for all of you to respond today. What area is God calling you to begin to once again fix your focus? You know, as I was doing some study and some research for this message, I came across a few interesting facts. And one was this. And the Lord's just been speaking to me. I'll get to the fact here in a second. The Lord's just been speaking to me about how significant it is that one of the four foundations of the vision that supports Rev City Church is a revolution of faith and family. Because the family, marriages and family are under an attack. And in a lot of ways, we've been kind of just willing participants in this, you know. I mean, we just kind of have been, we've lost our focus or we've lost our way, and God's calling us back to his ways. One of the things I recognized or I found as I was doing some research on this was that, did you know, listen to this, they did a search recently and the word Facebook exists in now 1/3 of all divorce filings in the United States of America. It's referenced as a contributing cause towards 1/3 of divorces in America. Listen, we need to redeem it and there's some good things we can use it for, but some of us need to fix our focus from this. To this. I was looking at a person right there. Judy, I was looking at you. I should be looking right here at my wife. What am I thinking? We need to fix our focus from this to this. Listen, come on, I'm preaching to myself. If you expect me to be an expert at everything I preach, there's going to be a short list of sermons. This is something that God's speaking to me about. Is it possible? Just recently, we've been walking with precious people, godly people who are going through painful struggles in their life and in their relationships and in their marriages. And we were giving consideration to what is up with this, all this wave of all this stuff that's coming in these families that on the outside look amazing. And they're serving God, but they're coming in private, and they're saying, we're on the brink of divorce. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and just said, every time there's an epidemic that enters in, or there's something circumstantial that enters into the culture of a nation, there's a delay between the time it enters in and between the time it begins to affect people. When a generation of dads went overseas to war, and many of them were killed or came back scarred by the images of war, there was a delay, but it affected the young people that those men were trying to raise. And the Lord just spoke to me, and he just said, this is the first, we're about 7 to 9 years into the effects that are being felt from a culture that is more connected to their phone than they are to the people in their lives. We got to fix our focus. Come on, I mean, I'm not saying you can't be on Facebook, I'm not saying, but if you got a problem with it, you might ought to consider just taking a rest from it, fasting from it. What if you got to delete it? To save your marriage for a season, just to get things right, just to fix your focus, just to give God the space to come in and begin to heal something that is way more important than that high school person that you'll never see again. And you're giving more attention to his or her situation or outing or what they ate. God, for God's sake, we know more about what our friends in high school that we haven't seen in 20, 30, 40, 50 years. We know more about what they ate for dessert than we know about what our spouse's day was like. We need to fix our focus. What really matters in your life? First, it's Jesus, and it's only Jesus. And then it's the precious people that God's put in your life. Come on. Some of us, if we don't fix our focus, there's some painful stuff coming. But today, the grace of God, the wisdom of God, the insight of God, the conviction of God is here to just, before it's too late, for God to just come and just say, come on, son, come on, daughter, I'm just calling you to just begin to fix your focus on me and on what really matters in your life. So I want to just ask us to respond to the Lord, and I want to ask you to just take a step of faith. Would you just lift your hands before God today? And whatever it is in your life that you need to give up, whatever it is in your life that you need to let go of, something you've held on to, something that's stolen or taken your attention from God first and then from the people around you that are most close to you, today in faith, just respond to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I thank you for showing me that thing, and I'm holding my hands open. I'm lifting my holy hands as if I'm giving this thing up. And I thank you, God, that you're going to strengthen and you're going to grace me and you're going to give me the wisdom to begin to go and begin to live this thing out in a way that begins to realign me, in a way that begins to reprioritize what really matters. And right where you are, right there with your holy hands lifted before a God that loves you so much, just receive from him. Receive from him whatever you need. Receive the strength that you need. Receive the grace that you need right there. If you're a married couple and you're going through some stuff, maybe you want to take one of your hands and just grab the hand of your spouse just as a way to just signify your unity to receive from God once again today and to begin to focus in a new way once again on what really matters in your life, building your life in Jesus and building your home and your family on the firm foundation that is Jesus and his word, the only thing that's unshakable. When the winds came, when the creek rose, when the storms came and they blew and they will blow, you'll stand because you're building it on something that stands forever as opposed to the temporal things of this world. And right there where you are, if you need to respond to the invitation of your Heavenly Father, that is Jesus Christ, to a relationship with your Heavenly Father, you can put your hands down because I'm about to have people respond in that same way to this salvation call. If right where you stand this morning, you realize that to fix your focus first, you got to just get right with God. You've been focused on your own self, your own ways. Maybe once you knew God or you were living for him, or maybe today it's the first time. And you need to respond to the invitation of your Heavenly Father that is Jesus Christ, to a relationship with him that in which your sins are covered and your shame is washed away and your guilt is washed away and you're given the opportunity for a new start, a new life that the Bible talks about as being born again. If that's you this morning, I trust your heart is just burning before God this morning. Maybe it's beating a little bit faster. Maybe you just know that's you this morning. And only thing I'm going to ask you to do is just respond in faith by lifting your hand in the air right now towards heaven, right now. If that's you this morning, you say, I need to fix my focus on God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Come on, thank you, Lord, for these precious hands. Thank you, Lord, for these precious hands. Thank you, God, for these hands that are going up in the air. Come on, right, because we're a family, can we join with them and just pray this prayer of faith and salvation over them this morning? So right there, every one of us as a family, come on, you those of you that raised your hand this morning, we're coming around you and we're speaking this to, again, today with you because we're your family in God and because we realize every day we need to grow more like Jesus. So come on, church family, say it with me. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you you sent him to wash away my sin and my shame, to reconnect me to a relationship with my heavenly Father. I give you my heart. I give you my hands. I give you my mind. I give you my life. I'll follow you for all my days. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, and all God's precious people said, come on, with a shout of praise. Many hands went in the air this morning. Come on.